20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perhatch, joined as always by Sarah Kelleher and not Dusty Evely. Sarah, it's a little disappointing. The NFL has kind of screwed us, but I'm a little bit hurt because I feel like we have officially found out where we stand in the rankings of the Dusty world of his articles come before the podcast. So it hurt. I don't know how you're feeling, but my feelings are kind of hurt right now.
Yeah, I'm just sad because obviously this weekend was awesome. The Packers offense at least looked amazing. We won against the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers is back, we think. And I was so excited to break it down, the three of us to talk, and then Dusty's like, I can't make it. And I was like, that's just kind of a buzzkill. Don't be a buzzkill, Dusty.
So everybody gets the understanding of what's going on. Dusty always breaks down the All 22 film, and apparently it's pretty notorious that the NFL is very, very late in issuing the All 22 film after the first week. So that's kind of where it is. He wasn't able to get his hands on the All 22 film until tonight. So he's got articles coming out that need to be written and everything. So obviously we're just giving him crap and we understand that He's got some stuff to do, but we always enjoy when the whole team is together. But it's going to be fun breaking down the Packers victory, looking forward to the game against the Lions this weekend and talking a little bit. How exciting was it that the NFL is back? Like, it's just like all NFL, Sunday I watched football and it was awesome.
Yeah. NFL and college football, like Saturday and Sunday, I just sat on my couch and watched TV all day. And I have absolutely no shame in saying that because it was just exhilarating to watch. I mean, like, I went to UCF. A bunch of you listening know that. And UCF didn't even play last weekend. Their first game is this weekend. And I was still like, oh, college football. And then the next day I woke up and I felt like I was going to puke because I was so nervous for the Packers game. And then I don't know what it was, but as soon as it started, I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm just thankful. And I was so happy to just be able to watch. And I was able to watch the game with my parents, which was amazing. And yeah, I mean, obviously the win was incredible.
Yeah, this may be like hot takey, and I know this sounds very weird, but college football doesn't do a lot for me. The NFL I'm all about, but I didn't go to a big school, so I was never huge on like going to games or doing anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I put it out there before, I know, and there's people that definitely don't agree with it, but I'm like, college football's, for me, it's kind of like meh, whatever, it's fine. It's a, you know, it's a watered down product of the NFL. So, but I put something out like, I'm like, I could be fine if college football wasn't around. And somebody's like, dude, people can see you're tweeting this. Like, you should delete that.
You still have time to delete this.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it stays up. But all right, let's go down over some of the things that happened in the NFL over the last couple of days. Looks like the Packers are going to catch another break in playing the Saints because Michael Thomas, it appears, is going to be, I think, going on the IR. His high ankle sprain was worse than first thought. So it looks like if he does go on the IR, that he will be able to get back after, I think the new rules are like 3 weeks or something like that. But if that's the case, then he misses that week 3 game with the Packers. And that's huge news. I mean, the Packers lucked out last year and missed Mahomes. Now they're missing Michael Thomas. And I mean, if you watch that Saints game, like their offense is good. It's not crazy. I feel like if Kamara was out, that would be the one you'd be like, oh, okay, we're good now. But Michael Thomas is not going to be there. And you know, that's Drew Brees' favorite passing option. So look for a lot of Emmanuel Sanders there. But that's some good news on the Packers front. And then, you know, let's see what else happened. The Packers Twitter world exploded because wide receivers are available for trade, Sarah. I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if you knew this, but apparently Allen Robinson of the Bears has deleted everything off of his Twitter from that says that he's a Bears receiver. Like, he changed header photos And it looks like OBJ is apparently going to be made available if the Browns keep losing. My God, I can't believe we're doing this again. Like, I feel like we do this every freaking year, but
we do every year.
And go ahead. Yeah. Tell me what you think.
I just was so annoyed because our offense looked so great and all of our receivers were so involved and played really well. And then people were still like, we need more wide receivers. And what really pissed me off, if you're listening and you did this, stop photoshopping OBJ and a 13 Packers jersey. Do not disrespect Alan Lazard like that. Thank you. That made me so mad. I saw it and I was just kind of scrolling on my phone and I'm like, oh, Alan Lazard. And I click on it and it was OBJ. I'm like, no, I don't like that.
That is not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, just... I feel like if you're going to get one of the two, there's no way the Bears are going to be trading Allen Robinson to the Packers. That's just,
we would have to give up so much for them to even kind of agree to do that. Like, and just give us one of their best players. Like, no,
I mean,
that's not going
to
happen.
In a weird way, I kind of would love to see that happen just to see Bears Twitter implode. Like, they would just freak out and it would be really funny. But again, I don't see that one happening unless they're giving away OBJ for, you know, like a third and a fifth, like they kind of did, like the Steelers did for Antonio Brown. Like, maybe, I don't know. But again, the amount of money that he is owed over the next couple of years, like I find it hard to believe. We're trying to figure out ways to pay Bakhtiari. We're trying to find ways to pay Kevin King. And all of a sudden you're like, you know what we should do is go get another high price wide receiver.
And Aaron Jones. Like, and there's potential that Aaron Jones is on that list too. So
I don't think he's actually on that list. It's sad. Like, I'm sad. Like, I would love to see him on the list. But if you're giving me the options of Kevin King, David Bakhtiari, and Aaron Jones, he comes in third on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. Especially in a year that potentially has cap casualties and like a reduced cap, this is not the time to pay a running back a lot of money when you're tight on the budget. So
very true.
I want to get your reaction on something. What did you think of Greg Jennings as a commentator on the game for week one?
I have to say that I was pleasantly surprised with him on Sunday. I should have, you know, at least given him a chance going in, but I just have very low expectations for what he was going to bring to the table. And from start to finish, I thought he was very professional the entire time. I mean, I know it was kind of hard to critique the Packers, especially Aaron Rodgers, who I know there's been issues with that in the past when he played so well, but even at the beginning of the game in some pregame talk and then, or before and at the beginning of the game and pregame talk and just throughout the game, he was complimentary of the Packers. And I think he also really provided, you know, kind of similar to Romo and why Romo was so great, just that different perspective of the game and what's happening. There was a few times, it's slipping my mind. What was he talking about with Lazard, Steve?
Oh, when Lazard was going, got his big reception down the middle of the field, he threw his hand up.
Right.
And normally to us normal fans who don't, you know, study like playbooks and all that kind of stuff, that would be signaling, hey, I'm wide open, throw me the ball. But no, that, like, Jennings broke down the fact that that was actually signaling the fact that I'm breaking off my route, what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm running straight. And Aaron Rodgers saw that, hit him, and got down inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting, just how with the perspective that he brought to the table. And I thought, you know, throughout, I was pleased, and I don't think he said anything that was controversial. And I don't think he made any digs at anyone, which I think a lot of us were maybe expecting that might happen. And yeah, I know he's on the game again this week, and I don't really expect anything different.
Yeah, I was legitimately wanting to hate the fact that he was going to be on there, and I was ready to jump on comments that he would make me like, ah, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, he's hating on Aaron Rodgers. But man, he, again, like you said, he was a consummate professional. He did his job well. He was not tipping his hand one way or the other towards like a favoritism of a team. again, like I thought he did really good. I thought him, Brock Huard, like together worked really well. Like you got some really good insights on things. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm excited for the fact that they're back again for this week. Cause I mean, they broke down the game really well and I thought, it was a lot of fun. So next thing up, I did not get to listen to Pat McAfee and Aaron Rodgers today. You did. So why don't you break down what happened with Rodgers talking to us about the purple drink?
Yeah, I was so happy when I saw this because literally at the end of the podcast last week, you were like, we'll see what purple drink Aaron Rodgers has. So
I'm I knew it was gonna, I knew it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, he listens to the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. but basically, of course, Pat McAfee was like, and AJ Hawk were like, what's in the purple drink? Why was it purple? And he said that he doesn't pick what color the drink is, but I don't know if I can
But he magically only drinks the purple ones when they play the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm like, what a coincidence. he said it was actually Pedialyte, and that's what he was drinking on the sideline, and that he has Pedialyte sometimes on the sideline. I think he said Gatorade, a couple other things, and he's like, it just happened to be purple this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, it'll be light blue next week. Light blue Gatorade
in a nondescript bottle, like no Gatorade sign, no nothing. But no, it just happened to be purple. I don't know how that happened in an empty water, but yeah, okay,
crazy. Sure. Absolutely crazy.
I absolutely believe that. Okay, we've got some Packers news, some updates, and everything. Number one, it sucks to find out that Lane Taylor is officially going on IR. That was a kick downstairs, not fun for anybody to see. But I mean, the only, I guess, positive out of everything, like it was really nice to see like the outreach on Twitter to him, like past players. Like I saw Mike Daniels, I think TJ Lang, a couple other guys, like former Packers players reaching out to him and stuff like that. Just shows the kind of player that he is, the person that he is. So that was really cool to see. So hopefully he'll be back stronger next year and can get a little luckier on the injury front. We're still waiting on news on Kenny Clark. They said it probably could take a couple more days. Hopefully with a groin injury, we'll see. Lucas Patrick got some good news that he's probable to play in the game this week with the Lions. So, I mean, there's at least that. Yeah, I mean, that's some good news. Like, the big thing is Kenny Clark, obviously. You lose Lane Taylor, and that sucks. You know, John Runyon stepped in, did some good stuff. Billy Turner will be back at some point in the next couple of weeks here. Don't know when that'll happen. But, I mean, you've got some guys that'll be able to step in, like maybe not exactly Lane Taylor, but still good enough.
I know they shifted Wagner in there throughout the game. And he played – yeah, like there was no sacks. Aaron Rodgers had all the time in the world multiple times. Like the line played really well before and after Lane Taylor went down. So I think they'll be able to – shift some things around and be all right.
So yeah, I think the big news, everybody holding their breath, is Kenny Clark. So we'll fingers crossed, everybody knock on some wood, and hopefully we'll get some good news on that. But Sarah, you for Cheesehead TV, now you are doing the weekly game recap, correct? Like every single week you'll write like news and notes about what you saw from the game, takeaways, everything like that, right?
Yeah, so pretty much after every game, hour or two after the game, depending on when the post-game pressers are and how long it takes for those to end, I'll just kind of do a quick roundup of here's what happened in the game, basically recap each scoring drive for both teams, and then kind of split it out from there on what we learned, what went right, what went wrong, and then name an offensive MVP, or if there's more than one, I'll list a few, and then same on the defensive side of things.
All right, you want to give us like the highlights from week one for that you pulled from your article?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll just break down what we learned and go from there. So what we learned, I said New Year, same defense. at times, it was a little alarming, especially on like the first few drives when Dalvin Cook was just kind of running his way through our defense. And I was cautiously optimistic. I talked about this a lot in the offseason about how our run defense would improve. And I'm just really hoping that it does, but I know it got better and Dalvin Cook was held short quite a few times in the second half, but there were still moments where it like looked like last season, and I'm like, please no, not again. So
and Madison, like Dalvin Cook wasn't the most, like Madison rushed for like six times for like 50 yards too. So
yeah, and it was just like, please tackle him, like please. And obviously, like our secondary, I think, is continuing to improve and has been trending upwards the past couple of seasons. But I'm really worried about stopping the run. What went right, I said, was the offense, which I think you guys are probably sick of hearing everyone talk about how great the Packers offense was on Sunday, but it really was crazy. I mean, if you would have told me the Packers would have put up 43 points on the Vikings last week, I would have thought you were crazy. So if Sunday's any indication of what a second year in this system looks like, then sign me up. Like, I want to watch that every weekend. It was really fun. It was really efficient. So many players were involved. I know on like the first drive, literally every position player on offense was involved except AJ Dillon. Like, that's crazy that they were shifting in guys in and out like that. What went wrong? We already talked about this, but I just said injuries. Obviously, Kenny Clark, like we said, is the big eyebrow raised there. Like, that's, we do not want to lose Kenny Clark, and we really need him. Offensive MVPs, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I mean, those two were sensational. They both broke records, actually, on Sunday. So Rodgers passed Eli Manning on the all-time passing touchdown list. So now he is number 7. And whatever he saw in his 2010 tape that he adjusted and is continuing to adjust, I just want him to keep doing that because obviously it's working. And then Devontae Adams, obviously 14 receptions for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns. And with that performance, he tied the franchise record for most receptions in a single game. And the last time someone had 14 receptions in a single game was Don Hutson versus the Giants in 1942. So long time ago. And then
if he wouldn't have bobbled that ball on the sideline, he would have had 15.
I know. And then defensive MVP was Jaire Alexander. I mean, he had the safety, he had an interception. We've talked about it countless times. This is the year where we think he can really make a big leap, and it looked like he's headed in that direction in week one. So yeah, that was kind of the recap of the game.
Did you happen to see like all of the wide receivers and tight ends running wide open if he doesn't make that sack?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Like, I was watching the game with my dad, and I like, we get excited about the sack, and everyone's like, "Oh, this is amazing! Holy crap!" And all of a sudden, they did the replay. I'm like, "Oh my god!" There was like 4 dudes wide open. Like, thank god he made the sack. It was an awesome play, and it was his instinct play. But I wonder how that'll get graded out by Mike Patton of like, dude, you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, I think he literally said, like, I slid in the DMs is how he described it, because he said the play wasn't written up. But yeah, my dad and I were watching the game, and we were just like, you said the same thing, like, oh my gosh, yes, a safety. And then when they played it back, he was like, oh my god, everyone is open.
But I mean, that's the time. If you're going to make that blitz on the half yard line, that's the time to do it. I mean, he got in quick and it made a secure sack. Like, it was a hell of a play from him. So
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. I mean, that's a great article. I got to read it too, right after the game, which was always really cool. And I think my biggest takeaway was that offense, like, doing the things that we were hoping they would do last year. You saw the glimpses, you saw the flashes, and they took a whole game, did everything you wanted them to do. And the fact that Rodgers was throwing like in rhythm, that was my biggest one of my biggest takeaways was like, holy crap, he's taking the small shots, he's waiting, he's being patient to take the home runs when he gets them, but he is making the right reads, he's getting the ball out. And I mean, if MVS makes that catch on third down, like, he is just gone. And oh, like, it was just a masterful performance. Like, I forget, I think it was, I was watching a video from Dan Orlovsky saying how, you know, you got to compliment Rodgers because him keeping things in rhythm and taking the, you know, the open shot, like the open receiver right away when it was there, helps get LaFleur into a good rhythm as a play caller. And it just continued like to, you know, snowball in a good way that all of a sudden the Packers offense is just flowing. And you saw it the whole game, which is what we had been complaining about all year. Like last year was like, it's great. There's some spurts, but there's so many like lulls in this thing. And like, if they could ever put it all together for a whole game, and that's what you saw. And it was just outstanding.
It was art.
Oh, it was so cool. All right. So we've got Packers offense versus the Lions defense. I will say this is probably where we're going to miss Dusty the most, because he's always the one that can get like deep into that kind of stuff of what the formations that will be successful and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure he'll be tweeting some things out in some of his articles. I'm sure we'll highlight some of the things to look for in this game, but what we'll do is what we always do is, Sarah, why don't you give me the big thing that you're going to be looking for from the Packers offense versus the Lions defense this week?
Yeah, so what I'm really interested in is seeing how the Packers use A.J. Dillon. So there was a couple times where in week one, I know one time in particular at the beginning of the game, we were like on the 2 or 3 yard line and we could not get in the end zone. And I'm like, this is why we have A.J. Dillon. Like, let him go in there and just push through everyone and score. So there was a few times where that happened where it was like 3rd and 1 or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, put A.J. Dillon in. Like, give Aaron Jones a break for a second and just let A.J. Dillon push his way through. Like, and then they used him a few times, very minimally, but when they did, it literally took like 3 guys to tackle him. Like, he trucked through a couple people. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a guy that you'll see. And they did do this in week one where he doesn't, you know, get a lot of reps in the first half. But then when defenses are starting to get worn down in the second half, it's like, oh, here we go. Here's A.J. Dillon when your defense is tired already and he's just going to come run through. So I'm interested to see how they use him this week. I'd honestly like to see him a little bit more. And I know there was a lot of talk on Twitter about just how they were utilizing the running backs in general. And so something I'm going to be looking for, because I wasn't necessarily like toned in on it and really looking for it this week, is how they will use A.J. Dillon.
I will be looking at the wide receivers. I mean, they put up a monster performance because everybody, you know, in the offseason complained like, oh, man, LaFleur is transitioning this offense to a rushing offense. And oh, my God, but Rodgers is over 360 yards, you know, 4 touchdowns. And I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but the Lions are slightly dinged up at the defensive back position. Justin Coleman, one of their cornerbacks, is now on IR. Akuda, he's banged up. Desmond Trufant, who used to be really good, is also on their team, but now he's banged up. And I think the latest note that I saw is
they're bringing in 4 defensive backs for workouts this week.
Yeah, they've got Jalen Watkins, the former Chargers and Texans DB, is in there for a tryout. It's setting up for some really, really good stuff for this Packers offense again, if they continue to do the smart things of getting the ball out in rhythm, getting it out quickly, not letting Trey Flowers affect the game that much. I mean, it's setting up for the Packers to go 2-0. We know things obviously can go haywire pretty quickly, but to me, it seems like it's something that, with the way that the Packers offense played and the Lions being dinged up, I mean, for God's sakes, they lost to Mitch Trubisky. Yeah. They were up 23-6 in the fourth quarter and they lost. I mean, to be fair, DeAndre Swift catches that ball. It's a completely different story. Gosh. Yeah. That was so cringeworthy. I felt so bad for that kid.
I cringed. Like, I had switched it over because that game was ending right when the Packers game did. And so I was like, okay, Packers won. Woohoo. Let's see, like, what happens here. Because I saw that the Lions were winning. And then all of a sudden I checked my phone and it was like, oh, the Bears.
What happened?
Yeah. So I turned it on, and then I'm like, oh, they're gonna win like really quick in those 2 seconds when I saw DeAndre Swift was wide open and then he dropped it. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
So,
It's one of those things, like you just feel bad, like the rookie that doesn't get any preseason games reps, like he does get like it. You hope it's one of those things that just doesn't define him. So, I mean,
exactly.
he was a talented guy, like I'm sure he'll bounce back just fine. And they've got a very solid running back group, so that's something to look out for. Adrian Peterson had 5 rushes of over 10 yards in the game. They've got Kerryon Johnson, they've got DeAndre Swift, so they've got a backfield mud that's in a weird way very similar to the Packers. So that's something to watch. But outside of the Packers offense versus line defense, what's the other thing you're watching for in the game?
I mean, just what's going to happen with the offensive line? I think we talked about this a little bit before, but I'm really interested how they're going to shift guys around until Turner is 100% back and ready to go. We don't really know when that will be, but we just heard he could potentially be there this week. He might not. We'll see. So basically, I think Wagner at right tackle was fine. Like we said, he played really well. And then when Turner comes back, you could slide him into the right guard spot. But until then, I think you just shuffle guys in and out and kind of see how it goes. And so I'm assuming since Wagner played well, he's going to be at that right tackle position again this week. But again, similar to the AJ Dillon thing, I'm just going to be keeping a little bit of a closer eye on that this week. Last week I was just wide-eyed with excitement about the offense and specifically Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers and what they were doing that now I'm going to take a closer look at some of the other aspects of the offense too.
I think one of the other things I'm going to be looking at is running back usage. We saw AJ Dillon get like what, 2 carries, 3 carries. I'm not sure. It was something very small, but looked to be very effective running over linebackers for the Vikings. So I'll be interested to see if that role slightly increases for him. I found myself yelling at the TV a little bit just because I felt like Aaron Jones wasn't being utilized enough. I felt like sitting him out, a whole series when Jamal Williams just takes the whole series out, like the second series of the game. Like I'm second series of the game, you're taking Aaron Jones off the field completely. Like I struggle to understand how you can't
Well, I
work.
know on the first drive too, he got hit pretty hard. And I think someone tweeted that he kind of looked dazed for a second. So I don't know if maybe that had anything to do with it in week one. I guess
Okay.
we'll have to, I mean, that's, you said you're going to look out for it in week two.
Yeah,
So that
it's.
might
I
be
mean,
something you're looking for.
I didn't hear anything about that. So, I mean, if that's the case, maybe that's what it was, and that makes a lot of sense. But, and I understand you with the when you have a running back who's 5'9" and a little bit slighter frame, you are going to be trying to watch out for him. I was happy the way that they tried to work him in near the end of the game. Like he was a little bit more effective when that defense was worn down, getting those first downs in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was on, Milwaukee Sports Radio today, like saying, like watching the film, he felt like there was yards that he left on the field. So you always like hearing that from the running back of like, I know I can do better. There's yards there. There's even more yards there for me. So that's what I want to watch. I want to see what kind of usage they're using. Like I feel like they're pushing all the right buttons in week one. So hopefully week two will be pretty similar. And yeah, we're all excited about a 1-0 Packers start. And you know who else is 1-0, Sarah? That's me. Because we had a prop bet.
You
I
can't
can't
even
even
brag
say it with a
about this
straight face.
because you're literally on the record saying, well, I really want to take the under, but you guys both did, so I guess I have to take the over.
Yeah, I know. I sent you guys both DMs trying to talk some trash to you, and I couldn't even do it because I didn't. I felt like I had to take it so we didn't all agree on the exact same thing. But what did we have? So that was Aaron Rodgers at 2 touchdowns
And
and
200 yards.
no, it was 275, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
I'm trying to find the exact DM that I sent you guys, but I know it was way more than 200. But it was, yeah. So the prop bet was Aaron Rodgers had to go 2 touchdowns and 275 yards, and that would cover the over. And if he only hit one of the two numbers, that would be the under. So you and Dusty went first, and you both said you would take the under, and I actually wanted to take the under, but I wanted to be contrarian to you two, so I picked the over, and then Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers again, and I was having a good time with that, so...
He listened to the podcast.
And yeah, like, he knows what's up. He
these idiots make... picked the under, and now...
That Steve guy, he's really smart. I have to make sure that I throw for over 275 yards and two touchdowns. So right now the record is sitting at me at 1-0 and you and Dusty at 0-1. But we will be rotating as to who decides what the prop bet is going to be every week. So Sarah, this is your week to decide what it is. So why don't you let everybody know what you decided on?
Yes. So we're sticking to the theme of the offense since that was the talk this week. So my prop bet for this week is Davante Adams, 2 touchdowns, and over 120 yards. That's my prop bet. I'm taking the over. I am going to just put myself out there. Lions secondary is banged up. Rodgers to Adams is hot. It's ready to go. I'm feeling it. I hope it happens. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be sad. So,
we did get Dusty's opinion on this. This is his quote. He says, "I want to take the over, but I think I'll take the under." So, I mean, that's Dusty in a nutshell for you. Wanting to take the big step, but couldn't really pull the trigger on it. So,
wanting to join us on the podcast,
but couldn't do it story. Because he had to write an article. So. I am actually going to take the under as well. I think we kind of talked about it, and I think, you know, 2 weeks in a row, 2 touchdowns, over 120 yards. I think that's a pretty tall task, but I said if you would have given me 10 catches, 120 yards, I would have taken the over on that. But I think it's the 2 touchdowns, 2 weeks in a row, that for me is going to be a little bit harder. Like, the Packers have shown that they're definitely going to want to spread the ball around. They're going to get a lot of guys, a lot of touches. And if all of a sudden they're running the ball well, like, maybe they don't need to throw it as much. So it's one of those things, like, this is the fun part of it now is for picking Packers victories or, you know, and predicting the score. It's one of those things. But I mean, if Davante Adams goes over 120 and gets the 2 touchdowns, okay, I'll be all right with that. I'll still be happy.
Like, that was me this week. I'm like, this is a loss that I will take any day of the
I know Steve's going to rub it in a little bit, but I can take that for the week. So,
yep.
Okay, before we get into the questions from everybody, I just want one side note on the Allen Robinson stuff. I'm going to retweet a video. If you guys have ever seen all the videos for, like, lost cats and dogs and everything with Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. They do it for Allen Robinson and how Mitchell Trubisky and Blake Bortles suck and they throw horrible passes to him. It's so worth the 2 minutes of the video because all of a sudden in the middle of it, there's a kid who talks about how there's wide receivers that are underappreciated and you need to call this number to support it. And oh my God, it's so funny. So I will retweet that out tonight to make sure everybody is able to get a listen to it. It's really funny.
It really caught me off guard. Like, I thought it was just a sad, like, video montage. And then when the kid popped up and he was like, every year, many wide receivers, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he went all out.
No, it's very, very well done. So we'll put that out there to make sure everybody gets a chance to see it. We always ask for questions from you guys every week, and definitely brought it this week. We got a bunch of questions. Some we obviously aren't able to get to. I think we had over like 15 or 20 questions this week, which was awesome. And so we will start with a little rapid fire. So I will say, we do want to apologize because some of the questions clearly were meant right for Dusty and, like, formation questions and, like, what do you expect to see from the offensive line and all these type of things that Sarah and I are just like, yeah, I'm not going to answer that. So maybe Dusty will look through them and answer them on Twitter for you guys. But we'll start actually with one of our podcast friends, Jacob Westendorf, wants to know, what Oreos did everyone eat in celebration on Sunday evening? So we'll start with Dusty because he actually tweeted this to us beforehand. We were all talking about how excited we were, and I was talking about the chili that I was making and everything. And Dusty pops into the Twitter DMs and is telling us that he's all set because he has the family size package of peanut butter Oreos. And then he also got the limited edition maple cream Oreos that he was going to be having for the game. So he was good to go. Sarah, did you get any Oreo action after the game?
I did. When I saw that Jacob asked us this, I had to smile because I'm like, oh, he got me. Super on brand for us. But yeah, after the game, I wrote my story. I made dinner and then I looked in my pantry. I saw the mint Oreos and I'm like, Should I do it? And I'm like, yep, Packers won. I'm going to do it. So I enjoyed some mint Oreos to celebrate the Packers win.
Sadly, I am not supposed to be keeping like sweet things in my house. So if I do ever have Oreos, they have to be hidden so my wife doesn't eat them. So I do not right now have any Oreos in my house. So I did not eat any of those. I celebrated with a bowl of chili and a good glass of bourbon. So I, for any of the people that are listening that enjoy bourbons, I had a nice glass of Blanton's and it was very delightful and I enjoyed myself. I would have loved to have some Oreos, but, sadly none were in the house. But Jacob, obviously great question, obviously on brand for us. You guys, you know us very, very well. So next one we got is from Don P, and he wants to know which of you three are the biggest Packers fan and share evidence why. Sarah, you and I both really liked this question, but we decided that we need to push it off a week just because Dusty is not here. So this seems like it like a, you know, WWF brawl between the three of us to declare who's the biggest Packers fan. So we definitely need to wait a week, right?
Yeah, to be continued.
Okay, next up we've got Travis Mack, one of our good friends. He actually sent me a thing of Oreos last year, the maple cream, which I do maintain tastes like a pancake, like a cookie pancake, and it's just outstanding.
I still haven't tried those. I need to.
Yeah, no, they're definitely worth a try. I'm not normally one for like the golden Oreo cookie, but yeah, that one maintains. It's a good one. But he wants to know, who do you see stepping up if defenses start to double Adam? So let's just start with this week. If the Lions start, you know, rolling the safety over the top on Devontae to double him up, who do you think is the next guy up for the Packers? Who are they going to go to?
Yeah, this is a great question because I think there's so much talk about, you know, Alan Lazard is listed as number two on the depth chart, but is it really MVS? That's kind of the guy that Rodgers is going to in those situations. I personally think it's Alan Lazard, but that's really just because I think he has a little bit of Aaron Rodgers, has a little bit of greater trust in him than MVS right now. I think MVS and Aaron Rodgers have definitely grown in the offseason. You could just tell they were a little more in sync than they had been at times. Rodgers is really hyping them up instead of getting frustrated like he did in previous seasons. But I just think the trust is there a little bit more for Alan Lazard. You know, MBS has still had a few drops that if he, like we said before, if he was able to hold on to the ball, that could have been huge plays. There was definitely yards that were left on the field. So I'm going to go with Alan Lazard on this one just because I think he's proven himself a little itsy bit more. And that's really the guy I think. I mean, he's number two on the depth chart, so I'm just going to stick with that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I feel a little slightly different. Like, I felt like Rodgers already knows that he's got it with Lazard, and he is trying to make sure that MVS's confidence stays there. I mean, more evident than ever that he went back to him multiple times after those two drops, like the one on third down, the deep bomb to him that hit him in the hands and fell out, and he still went back to him. Like, I feel like that is something different than the last couple of years of Aaron Rodgers, where he would have just been like, nope, I am done with you. Put him on the bench. Give me anybody else. I don't care. But he, like, you saw him like get super excited for his touchdown and go over and even skip over Alan Lazard's dap or whatever the hell a dap is. I don't know. I'm too old for that. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, getting super excited with him, give him high fives on the shoulders and get him revved up. So, like, I feel like you're right. Like, he does have the connection with Lazard, knows he's there, but he's really trying to make sure that that MVS is there. I will say, though, if the team start doubling up on Adams, I want to see more of the running back group. I want to see that screen game starting to work a little bit more. I mean, what, Aaron Jones had, I think, 4 catches for 10 yards. It wasn't effective the way it's been in the past, and I think that's something that they would want to see. So I want to see more from A.J. Dillon. I want to see some more more positive plays from Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. And I think if they're once they're starting to be even more effective, then all of a sudden the wide receivers are even more wide open. So it's really fun to think about the Packers offense when you have multiple guys that can catch the ball at all these different positions. So overall, it's really exciting. We've got one more question from Joshua Kisscamp. He has a two-parter, and you know what the second part is. You know it's a food question, but we'll start with the first part. If you had to start a franchise with 5 core players from the NFC North not on the Packers, who are they and what are your factors? So Sarah and I like this question a lot. We decided to make a list together almost. Biggest factor I think we both thought would be age, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of put the cap at like 28. If I'm starting a franchise and I'm taking core players, I want the younger, talented players, want a couple on both sides of the ball. So what's one of the guys that you thought right away was from the NFC North and apparently not on the Packers team?
Yeah, so obviously if you want to build a great team, I think you need at least a decent running back. So we agree that Dalvin Cook would definitely be a great option there. I mean, everyone knows. Yep. I don't think I really need to elaborate on that. He's a great player. We've seen it time and time again. He's young. And, yeah, he would be a great addition to start our Pack-A-Day podcast franchise.
Co-GMs. I like it. Next up, staying on the offensive side of the ball, we were looking at wide receivers because Sarah, I'll get into the quarterbacks in a little bit. But we decided to go with Kenny Golladay as a younger wide receiver, super talented, tall, can catch anything, super fast. Like if I'm not taking Davante Adams, if I'm not taking anybody from the Packers, like that's the guy that I would want to help start a franchise with. Have him being able to line up on the outside, like every single play. That's the guy you want. So, Sarah, what about the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah. So, I mean, not to just pick another player on the Vikings, but we have limited options here. So, Ngakoue, we've talked about him before, how he was a great addition to the Vikings defense. And, you know, we were a little worried about him in week 1, but I don't think he was a huge factor. I think when the Packers and Vikings play again later in the season, we might see a little bit more of him. But, you know, he was really new to the team at that time. There wasn't a preseason. So I think he'll kind of work his way in. But he's a great guy. He's young. He's obviously just a beast. Like we talked about this. Yeah. He's so good. And yeah, again, like these were kind of just really based on age and skill level at that point. And so to have a guy like that on your defense, that's someone you could build around.
Yeah. And we were trying to think like multiple levels of the defense, offense, that kind of stuff. And that's where we ended up with taking safety Eddie Jackson off the Bears, who is just, I mean, every time they play the Packers, like you see him, he's flashing all over the field. He can intercept, he can tackle, he can make plays in the backfield. Like he's all over the place. And for a young safety to be that talented, that's definitely somebody that you would want to build around as a core player. So definitely would say out of the 3 other teams in the NFC North, that's one of the guys that we decided to take. Quarterback, do you want to dive in a little bit?
So for some background, Steve's asking me like, oh, what do we want to cap the age at? And I'm like in my head going through just players to pick a team around. And I, in the middle of his question, started laughing. And he's like, why are you laughing at my question? And I'm like, I was just thinking about quarterbacks. Because, you know, when you're building a team, you kind of think, oh, there should probably be a quarterback. And I'm like, I'm not really sure I would want any of them if they weren't Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just don't know. It's not pretty.
Yeah. So what we basically ended up saying, Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I don't want Mitch Trubisky. Matt Stafford's too old. I don't want Kirk Cousins. Like, I can't take anybody off the Packers. Like, technically, you'd be like, oh, I'll take Jordan Love or something like that. But nope, he's on the Packers. You can't do that. So, yeah, it was a little tough. So then we ended up kind of arguing between Roquan Smith and Trey Flowers, and Roquan Smith is younger. That gives you the second that layer of the middle linebacker. And you guys know if you've listened once or twice, I kind of think it's important to have a decent middle linebacker. So that's kind of where we ended up. He was the best of what they have around. And yeah, so that's our core young players. We go Kenny Golladay, Dalvin Cook, Eddie Jackson, Yannick Ngakoue, and Roquan Smith. It'll be interesting. We'll have to draft a quarterback pretty high because, maybe we can end up with a Justin Fields or a Trevor Lawrence. That would be a good thing for us.
Yeah,
but
we'll tank our
that's kind of
so we can get a higher draft pick. And it's all strategy, all long-term strategy.
Exactly. We know what we're doing. That's why we have the jobs as GMs. Second part of Joshua's question was, what is your favorite tailgate main dish, side, and dessert combo? So you guys know us. We always love the food questions. So, Sarah, what is your what's your go-to at the tailgate?
Yes. So main dish, chicken wings. I think that's perfect tailgate food. Side dish, buffalo chicken dip. So Steve was like, don't you have to bake that? But in Florida, at least, like, they have it at the store where you can just pretty much keep it in one of those, like, heated containers and it'll be fine. Sure. And it's super good. Love that. And then dessert, I would say cookies for tailgate because, like, you're outside. It's easy to put on your plate. I mean, Oreos would be great, but also, like, a good chocolate chip cookie is always nice at a tailgate. Something like that. I know in Florida, sure, there's always, like, the assorted, and I mean, everywhere else, but I'm thinking, like, at Publix, at, like, our grocery store, there's, like, the big things of the assorted cookies where it's, like, chocolate chip, sprinkles, sugar, peanut butter, snickerdoodle, like, everything in one, and those are always, like, a must because they're just easy to have. You can eat, you know, it's not, like, messy. It's not going to melt. So that's the thing. Like, in Florida, it's always hot, so anything that is going to melt is a no-no. So those are my three: chicken wings, buffalo chicken dip, and cookies.
All right. My main dish, I am going to go with a burger and then a brat or Italian sausage that is cut in half and then put on top of the burger. That's always quite the, you know, I started doing that at Brewers games and my brother did that and I was like, oh my God, that's a game changer. So that's always a good one. Get some mustard on top of that. That's a lot of fun. As far as the side, like, you know, when you're doing tailgates, it's much more simplistic. When I do that kind of stuff, I want some, like, real potato chips. So you're talking, like, you know, Ruffles with the ridges or Lay's potato chips and then a good French onion dip. That's a home run to me.
That was, like, my second choice. That's always amazing.
Yeah. Those are good. And then one of my mom's friends makes mint brownies. So it's a regular brownie and then it's a layer of, like, mint frosting and then a layer of chocolate frosting over the top of it, but it's thin. So it's not like, I'm not a big frosting guy. Like, I can't have too much. But oh man, when you have a couple of those and holy crap, those are outstanding. So,
that sounds amazing. So
yeah, thank you guys for all the questions. It's always fun to hear what you guys want to know about. So hopefully Dusty can answer a couple more and we will make sure to argue next week about who is the biggest Packers fan out of the three of us. That'll be a good time. But yeah, again, always appreciate the questions from you guys on Twitter. Sarah, that kind of is going to wrap it up for us. What do you got as your closing thoughts for the night?
Yeah, well, thank you everyone that followed along and read my game recap this week. I know I mentioned last week that I was going to look for takeaways from you guys to include in my story. And so many of you so graciously commented and shared what your takeaways were. So just thank you for that. That was really awesome to see. And I mean, like, even though I only included a handful, I literally read every single one. It was super cool to see what you guys had to say and how excited you were with what Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams were doing. And it's just an awesome time to be back and to be back writing with Cheesehead TV. So Again, be on the lookout this week. There'll be another story following the game and at halftime. And at the end of the game, I'll be turning to you guys for your thoughts. Other than that, same old, same old. Our DMs are always open. You can always message us. You know, keep making good choices. Wear a mask when you can. Be kind to one another. And just, you know, tell your friends, family you love them. Check up on people when you can. And, you know, if you need somebody to talk to, I'm always here. My DMs are always open.
Outstanding. Echo everything Sarah just said. I'm just excited that football's back. It's been a much needed. I really haven't watched baseball. I really haven't watched basketball. But when football came back, I was like, okay, like this is like I'm legit watching this. I'm watching it all day, and it was a good day. It was fun. Like I got my kids to watch a little bit with me, but you know how that goes. 5-2, so they basically watch for 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden we're like running around like crazy people. So, but just a lot of fun, and I'm excited to do it all again next week. So. Also shout out to Maggie Loney because she was the champion of the Pack a Day Podcast Fantasy Football League last year, and I beat her in week one this year. So I know.
Wait, so you won your fantasy game this week?
With Maggie, yes.
Okay. Is that the only league that you're in?
Oh no. I'm in three other leagues besides that.
I'm in a league that I've been in. It's the same group of us for years now, and I crushed one of my really good friends, and like he had a terrible sports weekend. Like every single one of his baseball team lost, his college team lost, and his NFL team lost, and then I just like crushed him in fantasy, and he was just saying, yeah, this is the worst weekend ever. But it was funny because he said like, well, I wanted sports back and this is what I get, but I'll take this pain.
They're bad. It's better. Yeah. I guess it's better than no sports, but ugh. But yeah, so it's a 14 team league. It's a lot. It's just, I mean, just for fun with the Pack a Day, we just talk trash to each other. So it's a good time. So, but I'm sure now that I talk trash about Maggie, I'll be curb stomped next week by whoever I play. So it'll be a lot.
Same.
Exactly. But that's the beauty of fantasy football. Like 1 week you're up, the next week you're like the worst in the league. So, thank you guys for listening, Sarah. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully Dusty will be back next week. We will put ungodly amounts of pressure on him that even if he has to write his articles, he's still going to be part of the podcast. So make sure you guys tweet him that. That's at Dusty Evely. Send him messages. Do whatever you need to make sure he's back. Follow Sarah at Sarah Kelleher 4. I'm at Steve Perech and at Packaday Podcast. So thank you again for all your questions. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys next week after a Packers victory over the Lions. And as always, go Pack, go.